Our study tonight is out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27, 1 and 2, and 12 through 15, and then mainly Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 1 to 17. Jeremiah's exemplary response to a godless competing prophet. God called Jeremiah to prophesy in Judah during its apostasy until God's judgment fell on the nation. Jeremiah's ministry is then similar to what God's servants face in our era of spiritual decline. Such a calling can be marked by opposition that seeks to intimidate God's servants into ceasing to do his work. Well, Jeremiah, 29, 1 to 17, that's incorrect. It should be 28, 1 to 17, my apologies, reports that Jeremiah faced an opposing competitor, a godless prophet who countered him and his message. And the passages that we have here provides a lesson for us, for our insight, our application, and edification. I thought that since the verses are quite long, I'll just cover the verses as we get into the lesson itself. Just by way of background, I'm going to tip back into Jeremiah 27 for a little bit. The Lord directed Jeremiah to tell Gentile rulers and Judah's king to submit to the rule of Babylon, to live peaceably under Babylonian rule, instead of heeding their false prophets to the contrary. Not only were the false prophets in Judea, but the false prophets in the nations around them were predicting that Babylon's nothing to be afraid of, Babylon is not going to overcome. And God was directing Jeremiah to warn these nations around Judah, as well as Judah itself, that no, Babylon's going to come, and it's going to overcome the nations. So early in the reign of Judah's king Zedekiah, this is the last king that Judah had. I know it says Jehoiakim in Jeremiah 27:1 of the King James, but that is actually correct. There's a textual variation there. The Lord directed Jeremiah to make a model yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on his neck. Now, this is obviously would not be the yoke that would be the weight that you'd put on an ox's neck. A man would have difficulty carrying it. It's probably a model yoke that just went around his neck. And it was used as an object lesson. And, of course, that would get the attention of people. And in the Middle East, in the ancient Near East, if you had a model like that, people would ask questions, what are you doing? What's that for? What does that mean? And it would get their attention. And it was designed to get the attention of the people. Well, this was a sign to Jeremiah's listeners that the Gentiles around Judah, the Gentile nations around Judah, as well as Judah herself, and Zedekiah, were to bring themselves under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, or suffer the divine punishment of having Babylon invade their countries. Well, false prophets in the surrounding Gentile nations, according to Jeremiah 27, 9 through 11, and in Judah itself, Jeremiah 27, 14 and 15, were prophesying lies by asserting that they should not submit to Babylon. And God warned these nations through Jeremiah that heeding these false prophets would only ensure the destruction of their lands. The way, incidentally, that God used Jeremiah to warn the other nations, there was a great big powwow type of a meeting where the kings of the surrounding nations sent their delegates into Jerusalem to meet with the king there, and they were going to talk about how in the world they were going to handle Babylon. So Jeremiah went up to the delegates and said, go back and tell your kings this message, that you need to submit to Babylon or else. However, the false prophet Hananiah publicly competed against Jeremiah, countered him and his message. And this comes out in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1. It came to pass the same year, the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which is of Gibeon, spoke unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Okay, and remember, one of the exiles that went into Babylon with Jeconiah would have been Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, that's incorrect, king. I'm sorry. I think it was Jehoiachin. Anyway. But they were already in Babylon at the time. So in the fifth month of the same year, the false prophet approached Jeremiah in the temple, the presence of the priests and of all the worshipers there, to publicly counter Jeremiah's message. He prophesied that the Lord God of Israel declared that he would break the yoke of the king of Babylon within 2 years, bring back the articles he took from the temple along with Judah's king Jehoiachin and all the other exiles from Judah. Now, it's interesting what Jeremiah did. We might tend to be very defensive at a situation because this is a public contradiction to what Jeremiah has done. But verse 5, notice what Jeremiah did. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before you of antiquity prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of calamity and of disease. The prophet that prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. So Jeremiah had a very interesting response. He reacted by saying that he wished that Hananiah had predicted what he had predicted might occur. But he added that past godly prophets had foretold of God's judgment on many great nations in contrast to Hananiah's words. So Hananiah wasn't just opposing Jeremiah, he was opposing Micah. A lot of these other prophets that had prophesied before, there's going to be trouble. So Jeremiah says, you're going against the grain, my friend. Also, Jeremiah said that any prophet who predicted peace would be recognized as being from God only if his prophecy was fulfilled. Now, he's not slandering, he's not raking Hananiah over the coals. He's just saying, okay, you made this prophecy, but keep in mind, it's going against the grain of all the other prophets, number one. And number two, not only is it going against the grain, but if you speak peace, we're going to know that your prophecy is correct only if it comes to pass. So it's still up in the air. Well, Hananiah then publicly took the wood yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and he broke it, telling the people that the Lord would similarly break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar off of all the nations within 2 years. That's very important. Verse 10, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and he broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And notice what Jeremiah did. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. There's nothing else you can do. The guy's opposing you, he's opposing your ministry, he's opposing your message, and even the object lesson you have around your neck, you broke it. So that's direct competition. So Jeremiah simply left the scene with nothing more to say. But God had something to say. Notice verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off of the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have also given to him the wild animals of the field. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord did not send you. You have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year you will die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died that same year in the seventh month. That's 2 months after this. Very interesting. So God had Jeremiah go to Hananiah in private and tell him that though Hananiah had broken wooden bars, in its place there would be iron bars. Of course, you cannot break the iron bars by hand. God had put a yoke of iron on all the necks of all the nations and forced them to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. For God had given Nebuchadnezzar not only these nations, but even the wild animals in the lands of these nations. In addition, Jeremiah told Hananiah that the Lord had not sent him. Yet Hananiah had persuaded the people of Judah to trust in lies. And for that rebellion, God would remove him from the face of the earth. That same year, Hananiah would die for preaching rebellion against the Lord. In the seventh month, that's 2 months after Hananiah had publicly countered Jeremiah's ministry by claiming that Judah would escape Babylon's control within 2 years, Hananiah died. Notice the judgment of God. Hananiah predicted within 2 years, he dies in 2 months. God said, I'll beat you to the punch. So the lesson is when false prophet Hananiah publicly countered Jeremiah's prophetic ministry from the Lord, Jeremiah simply affirmed the truthfulness of his message from the Lord and left Hananiah for God to handle. It's a wonderful way to respond. The Lord then punished Hananiah to die in 2 months, in fitting judgment for falsely predicting that Judah's captives and booty that Babylon had taken would be returned from Babylon within 2 years. So in application, if we are called of God to achieve a certain ministry objective, but that objective is countered by an opponent like Jeremiah, may we simply hold our ground, affirming God's will, and let the Lord deal with the opponent, since that opponent is actually opposing the Lord. See, when God assigns a Christian a ministry, and that Christian is meant to perform that, if someone opposes that Christian's ministry, they're not opposing just the Christian, they're opposing God, because God sent them. God assigned them to that job. And God doesn't like that. He doesn't like anybody opposing the ministries that he's assigned people. Incidentally, this is a reason why we have to be very careful about judging someone else's ministry. I mean, if the Lord has chosen someone to do a certain thing, who are we to object? And number two, to think clearly and to remain emotionally composed, which is hard, in facing that kind of opposition, may we, like Jeremiah, recall that we do not serve our own interests, but God's interests. And may we thus keep performing God's assignment without viewing the conflict as a personal issue. Many years ago, I was in a group of pastors. We would meet. We were in a fellowship. It was called the Berean Fundamental Fellowship. And we were meeting we would take turns going to one of our churches. And one of the men in the ministry there, who was a pastor, the other guys felt that he really wasn't cut out to be a pastor. And so the men felt someone needs to go to him and tell him that. And I was chosen. And I agreed. So I agreed. So I went and then I talked to this fellow. And I'll never forget his response. He said, but Don, God called me. That's all he said. Then he turned around and walked off. And I suddenly realized, whoa, did I step out of line? And so the Lord used that experience to correct me in the future never to do that again. And I felt really bad that I'd done it. But it's a wonderful lesson I learned. We can't judge other people and the ministry that God's given them. We don't have that capacity. God's the one. I think there's Romans chapter, is it 14? It talks about each servant stands or falls before his own master. And we're not the master of other servants of the Lord. Other Christians, their master is the Lord. Unless, of course, it's a ministry that has been given and that ministry has been delegated out by like a board of deacons or something. There's a group of Christians over, like a mission board, you have mission leaders, then we need to submit to the leaders and the decisions they make. But even then, mission leaders have found, you got to be real careful. there have missionaries that they thought wouldn't do very well, and so they often, where they would take the missionaries that they thought they were not skilled and put them in some of the most difficult places, like some of the hardcore Muslim areas. And before you know it, there was a revival that would break out amongst the Muslims with these guys. And it would shock the mission leaders, because the Lord had a wonderful way to upstaging everybody. But we need to be very careful not to judge others. And also, we need to be careful not to judge ourselves. If God has called us to do a certain thing, he wants us to go. I think it was Dwight L. Moody said, if you check Scripture, you'll find that God never sent a man to do a job expecting him to fail in it. If God sends you to go in an area, he expects you to succeed. So if God has called us, we have the promise of success. We should go for it.